Hello and welcome to this episode of Parle, the Hindu's weekly podcast, in which we take up questions of public importance and get insights from experts. I'm Aratrika Bhomik, your host for today. And the question for this week is, should post-retirement appointments for judges be allowed? Whether judges should hold an official post after retirement is a topic that has been debated for years. While some disapprove of such a practice, since it may encourage a culture of sycophancy that affects the independence of the judiciary, others, including the government, have pointed out that such posts often require judicial personnel of the highest integrity and that there is no constitutional bar to this effect. However, earlier this month, less than a week after resigning as a judge of the Calcutta High Court, Abhijit Gangopadhyay announced that he was joining the BJP. The judge's decision to join politics and the manner in which it was taken has raised questions of judicial impropriety. To discuss this contentious issue, we have with us today Justice Deepak Gupta, a former judge of the Supreme Court of India, and Mr. Sanjay Hegre, a senior advocate based in Delhi. I welcome you both. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
Let us start the discussion with something that is currently being talked about a lot. Do you think Justice Abhijit Gangopadhyay's decision to resign and join the BJP should be considered a breach of judicial conduct by the Supreme Court? If so, is it now time for the top court to lay down judicial reforms to expressly prohibit judges of constitutional courts from joining official posts? Justice Gupta, I would like to come to you first on this.
Though I don't approve of the action of Justice Abhijit Gangopadhyay, I don't think there's a constitutionally or a legal bar to what he's done. So I don't think the Supreme Court can do anything much in the matter. The time maybe has come when the Supreme Court must restate the values expected of a judge of the Superior Court, like the High Court or the Supreme Court. We have the Bangalore's restatement of values, many, many years old, which need to be worked out again. The manner in which Mr. Gangopadhyay resigned and joined a political party a few days later, within 48 hours, I think, it doesn't speak well of judicial independence. We must remember that in a democracy, one of the essentials of a democracy is a fair and fearless judiciary. And there can be a fearless judiciary only if we have independent judges, fearless judges, judges with a spine. And therefore, I think the time has come. The government will never do it. See, to expect any government, any political party in power to come out with some sort of ban or some cooling off period for judges is not going to work, because they are the gainers from this system. It has to come from within, from the Supreme Court, the Chief Justice, the judges. They have to decide that the time has now come when we must lay down some norms and rules of how a judge should behave after he demits office, whether on retirement or resignation.
Right. Thank you for that insight, Justice Gupta. Mr. Hegre, what is your opinion on this?
Well, Justice Gupta is right that there is no constitutional bar. And all official posts that judges should stay away from them may be too much to ask for. There are certain posts for which judges are uniquely qualified. There are certain jobs that judges have done in the course of their judicial career where the talents would simply go waste. And if they could be fruitfully occupied and they were willing to occupy those posts, fine. For example, there were judges who headed computerization committees of the courts. The courts themselves would benefit if those judges continued, notwithstanding the superannuation. The real problem, as far as Justice Gangopadhyay goes, is that he had only a few months to retire. He resigned ahead of time, particularly, as it now seems apparent, to contest the Lok Sabha elections. Now, if there is no bar against judges joining politics, there have been many judges who have, after they've demitted office, joined a political party, given a few speeches. Some have gone on to even contest seats later. But here, the feeling that you can ask a judge to resign just so that he's available for elections, and that too by a party which is ruling at the center, that does not speak highly for judicial independence. You know, sometimes clients ask us, what do you think of such and such a judge? And do you have any connections with the judge? It's very difficult for us to say with a straight face, no, this judge is absolutely, there's nothing against him, and he plays with a straight bat, etc. When we are not sure whether we are addressing a judge who is not yet retired, or we are addressing a prospective MP or a prospective governor or something like that. I would say that as far as political jobs are concerned, jobs where there are or posts or offices where involve an amount of election or political support, I think the time has come for the judiciary to very clearly restate its values and possibly even take an undertaking from fresh entrants that they will not join active politics for at least a cooling off period of 2 or 3 years, and that any post-retirement jobs that they take will be those which are approved by the then Chief Justice of India or any office created by him, to insulate the judiciary against offers which might tend to corrupt its independence.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Hegre. In fact, I was coming to the entire concept of a cooling off period, which has been recommended by the Law Commission before. So it's a practice we see with bureaucrats who wish to join the private sector post-retirement. So do you think such a cooling off period is required? And if so, how long should it be? Mr. Hegre, if you could please start with this.
Well, I am not within the judicial fold. And I think it's a healthy convention, or even if you put it into some kind of declaration, at least 2 years. At least 2 years, if not more. Because a judge who retires from the High Court retires at age 62. So if you make it 2 or 3 years, the man still can have an active career ahead after 2 years, which would make him 64 or 65. As far as the Supreme Court is concerned, it would be 67 or 68. Between 2 and 3 years is what I would think would be a reasonable figure.
Right. Thank you for that take, Mr. Hegre. Justice Gupta, do you agree with Mr. Hegre on this?
Before I come to the cooling off period, my view is very clear. I have expressed it in a judgment called Roger Matthews' judgment, delivered sometime in 2019, but I was part of the minority. So it's not. I am very strongly of the view that there should be no post-retiral post for judges. I don't believe that judges alone can handle certain posts. Having said that, as the law stands today, we have so many posts where we have the minimum qualification is to be a Supreme Court judge or a Chief Justice of a High Court, or even in some cases it used to be Chief Justice of India only is, and a former Chief Justice of India only. So there are certain posts. And as Sanjay said, there have been some brilliant people who after retirement have done great service, human service towards the nation. But for me, the bigger issue is, what is the perception of the people? Sometimes the judges may decide rightly, but the public may perceive that this judgment which has come on the verge of retirement is a judgment which is tainted by some expectation of a post-retiral benefit. In Roger Matthews, I don't have the judgment before me, but I've written, and I think almost verbatim I can say, I wrote that judges on the verge of, when judges on the verge of retirement throng the corridors of power seeking sinecures from the government, you can't expect justice from them. We must remember that the state in India is one of the, is the largest litigant, and so many times just an ordinary citizen up against the state. And if a judge after retirement takes up immediately a post, any post which the government offers him, the other side is going to, you know, have a doubt in its mind that whether this judgment was delivered for extraneous reasons or not. And I think, as there's an old cliche saying, justice should not only be done, it should be, seem to be done. So I am not at all in favor of judges getting any post or title sinecures.
Right. Thank you for that insight, Justice Gupta. If I could just cite a study, an empirical study done back in 2021 on corruption in the Supreme Court by researchers Madhav S. Anay, Shubhankar Dam and Giovanni Co. The likelihood of the government winning a case rises by 13 to 17% when a judge who retires shortly before an election is substituted with one who retires long before an election. Do you believe that judges who decide salient cases in favor of the government are more likely to secure post-retirement appointments? If so, does the remedy lie in the enactment of a central legislation, especially since the Supreme Court has shown reluctance in the past to frame guidelines? Justice Gupta, if you could please go first.
Yeah, as I told you earlier, I am strongly of the view that there should be no post-retirement sinecures. But unfortunately, the government is also not going to bring any law. If it does, I will welcome it. And whether the courts will do it, it's unfortunate. I don't know what will happen. But my personal view is that, you know, why can't you, I mean, any job a retired Supreme Court judge can do, a good, competent lawyer can do. Sanjay Hegde can do any job which I can do. So why can't you appoint good lawyers to the same very post which you think? Finally, it should be men of integrity, men of caliber. It doesn't make any difference what post they've held. My view is, let the retirement age be higher. Let them retire at a later age. But not that they can, they should get post-retirement jobs. You know, they want a house in Lutyens, Delhi. They have all the perks, trappings of power. When judges hanker for the trappings of power, it's a sad day for the judiciary.
Right. Thank you, Justice Gupta. Mr. Hegde, what is your opinion on this?
As I told you, that I've not been on the other side. And Justice Gupta knows the position much better than I do. But yes, often it is public perception that a judge who is looking forward to something after retirement is more likely to be benefiting those before him who might be in a position to help him thereafter. But it's not only the government. There have been also studies that some law firms which offer possible good arbitrations, etc., some big case at that particular point of time, a judge may decide it one way or the other. So, of the two evils, having a government job may be a better solution. But it should not be that there should be a direct correlation. The government may very well ask the Chief Justice of the day that, look, these are the jobs which are coming up. Please give us the next available judge. So the power of appointment or the power of recommending appointment should lie within the judiciary itself. And if the judiciary works out a reasonably fair and transparent method of allotment, then you could conceivably use the services of judges in judicial functions or judiciary-related functions to a much greater age. Yes, the increasing the retirement age is a possible solution. It might do injustice to one generation of lawyers with judicial expectations. Because if you raise the retirement age, and obviously some people who are waiting for those judicial shoes might be disappointed. But that might, given increased life expectancy and given better health care, judges who have had experience and who have been performing well, should possibly be allowed to continue to greater than age 65. There have been judges who have, on the other hand, said, look, I am looking forward to retirement at 65. I can't possibly keep listening to these lawyers going on endlessly for any more time. That's a different debate, of course.
Right, all right, Mr. Hegde. So since we're talking about increasing the age of superannuation of judges, some experts have also opined that India should probably follow the US model of granting Supreme Court justices lifetime tenures. Mr. Hegde, do you agree with this?
I think the US itself is in the process of reconsidering lifetime appointments. The US has just 9 Supreme Court judges, and they all sit together on any particular matter. So what often happens is that one of the greatest jobs that any presidential administration can do is the appointment of a Supreme Court judge, assuming that a vacancy arises during their term in office. And the tendency is to appoint younger and younger people, people in their 40s, so that they could go on to shape the law of the nation for the next 40 years or so. Take Justice Clarence Thomas, who was appointed in the early, in the late 80s, if memory serves me right. There have been various demands that he, being one of the oldest members of the bench, and his views not particularly being in accord with a lot of America, that there should be term limits in such cases. So a lifetime appointment for 34 Supreme Court judges currently would possibly, leave the institution burdened and with no fresh talent coming up. While I agree with an increase in age, I don't think lifetime appointments are a good idea, particularly given the Indian situation.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Hegde. Justice Gupta, what are your views on this?
I agree with Sanjay absolutely that there should be no lifetime appointment. In fact, that's a very dangerous trend. And let's not forget, all of us know that after a particular age, well, your mental and physical faculties tend to be affected. But having said that, 65 is not an age to retire. And there should be a higher age. But I place it with a caveat. And that caveat is that the retirement age for judges of the High Court and the Supreme Court must be the same. It should not be different. Sanjay talked about a generation of lawyers losing chances. I'm not so sure about that. If we increase the age of the High Court judges also to another to the same as this, what will happen is that for another 3 years, whether you increase it or 5 years, you will have no retirement and the vacancy situation will improve. Secondly, this rather unholy hold which the members of the collegium or the senior judges of the Supreme Court exercise on the senior judges of the High Court. In a constitutional scheme of things, High Court judges and Chief Justices are equal, especially the Chief Justices of High Courts are equal to Supreme Court judges. But in actual fact, that is, they are not almost rendered themselves like subordinates. And it's only because of the retirement age being different. And I personally feel that if you must have one uniform age, fix whatever you want, 65, 70, 68, but you have to take it with as life expectancy as increases, the age should also increase. But not life. Life term, I'm not at all in favor.
Right. Thank you, Justice Gupta. So statutes regulating tribunals and commissions often provide for the chairmanship of retired judges of the Supreme Court or High Courts, thereby making judges indispensable to these appointments. Mr. Hegde, is a common service or probably a written test to secure such appointments a plausible alternative?
No, at that age, written tests will not really work. If at age 65 you have to write a written test to have a few more years of service, I don't think many people will apply, including from the bar. The more you get into all the service kind of jurisprudence, seniority, written test, and things like that, the less likely are you to have independent creatures that you need to man any judicial or quasi-judicial institution. Then it all becomes a thing of, I secured more marks, I was born on such and such a date, and you get a series of judicial bureaucrats. That I don't think is any remedy. What we should, as a profession, learn, possibly to take more seriously, is the fact that ultimately public belief in our profession rests largely on our ability to provide service or to be of service to the nation, to harassed litigants. And if both the bar and the bench proceed with the idea of service, and that we are in a service function, irrespective of whether we are on this side of the bar or that side of the bar, then possibly a more collaborative and a more fruitful judiciary and quasi-judicial authorities could deliver more for the nation.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Hegre, for that insight. Proceeding to the last question for the evening, Justice Gupta, should post-retirement monetary perks be increased to reduce the reliance of judges on these appointments, such as maybe enhancing the amount of pension and other allowances?
They could be. I'm not such as, you know, when you join the service as a judge, you know what you're going to get. So, and what you're going to get on retirement. But yes, if you're going to say that you will have no post-retirement benefits, then you must give them good post-retirement benefits so they're not drawn into doing some other things which are not. But I would like to add something on the previous question, if you permit me. See, I am strongly of the view, you know, what has happened in the last few years, we've tribunalized justice a lot. The courts themselves have given up the power, service matters go out, tax matters go out, company matters go out, and so on and so forth. I am strongly of the view, and you know what is happening now, before I come to my suggestion, what is happening is that in some high courts, you are not getting judges who have worked, or lawyers to be appointed as judges who have worked in the taxation field or anything, because they're only doing work before the tribunals. So I personally feel that there should be, you know, you could have 2-3 different types of tribunal services. Like you could have a service tribunal service, which will look after the central administrative tribunal and the state administrative tribunal. You could have a tax administrative service, which would cover all sorts of taxes. You could have, you know, the service tribunal could also cover armed forces and so on and so forth. So you have different, then you have some technical TRAI, SEBI, you know, you have certain regulatory bodies again. So, for these services, you should be taking in young people at the age of 35 and so at the lower rung, and those people should then go up the ladder and become head of the institutions. Why should there be lateral appointment? I know it will take 20 years or 30 years. Why should laterally people from the High Court or the Supreme Court go to head these bodies? It should come in vertically from within the services. So my view is that there should be some tribunal services like they have in the UK, they have it in many European countries, where people, they don't come from the judiciary, they grow up in the tribunals and then head those very tribunals.
Right. So, but do you think that the current bans of pension or even other allowances, are they enough? Because a lot of it, I mean, people say that, you know, it's probably a justification why there's reliance on post-retirement appointments. Because of, let's say, the pension amount that judges are getting currently.
I'm not sure, Ratrika, that people want post-retirement jobs for money. They want post-retirement jobs for the perks which go with the job, for the power which goes with the jobs, not so much the money. By the time you reach 65 or 70, everybody has his own nest egg. And if you're competent enough, you will get enough work, both either as an arbitrator or as a legal advisor, you'll get sufficient work. There's no dearth of work.
Right. Thank you, Justice Gupta. Thank you, Mr. Hegre. I certainly found this discussion to be very insightful, and I'm sure our readers and listeners will feel the same way. Thank you once again for joining us today.
Thank you very much.